I found everyone in the kitchen. Everyone, that is, meaning a crowd starting with an unhappy-looking pair of lionesses. Thayrid nursing a beer. Anya Devi chowing down at a table littered with plates. And Saul right next to her, doing his level best to destroy a mountain of beans and rice. A huge pan of what looked like beef enchiladas verdes, heaped with cheese, sat to one side. And between pulls off a Corona bottle, he was doing very well at taking the whole load of food down without chewing much. The house was full, because there were other wares now, too. A bird ware bent over the stove as another lean, tawny cat ware. Ruby, I found her name with a lurching mental effort, set down a pair of grocery bags and stared openly at me. Several other cat wares were crammed in the living room, and the only reason why more weren't in the kitchen dining room was because it literally wouldn't hold anymore. The first story was full to bursting, and I was lucky I'd even been able to squeeze through the hall downstairs. Devi swallowed a forkful of paella and blinked at me.
Nice to see you up and around. Get some food. We've got to get out of here.
I'm good. We're headed to Galena's?
Jill, sit. Eat.
I dropped down into the only free chair at the table, and the birdware was suddenly there, banging down a huge plate of steak, eggs, and crispy hash browns. Fragrant steam wafted up, and there was a fork buried in the potatoes. Anya grinned, the corners of her eyes crinkling. She took another huge forkful of paella and washed it down with a gulp of absinthe. I shuddered at the thought and stared at the plate. Perry was trying to feed me too. Everyone was trying to shove something down my gullet. Which brings me back to my blue-eyed mute and the diner. I still wasn't sure if that was a hallucination, but he and Martin Pours had been the first to feed me. It probably means something, but what? No clue. I'd wait until we got to Galena's and sort everything out.
Sounds like a reasonable plan.
Steam rose from the browned potatoes, the fluffy eggs, the strips of medium-rare steak. Anya shoved a glass bottle of ketchup over with one hand, then grabbed her absinthe and took another long, healthy drag.
The sorcery will burn it out of her. Not like Leon and his constant beer swilling to dull the something extra he came back from hell with.
My head snapped aside as if I'd been slapped. The heavy butcher block table rattled, my fingers curling around its edge and sinking in, the gem giving a thrill all through me. Anya was on her feet, each hand on a gun.
Hey, easy there. Both of you settle down. I'm trying to eat here.
Sorry.
Oh, Jesus, Jill. You scared me.
I picked up the fork, awkwardly. A thin lattice of golden fried potato hung from it, still steaming. My other hand still clutched the table.
I just thought of something, that's all. Mikhail. Something about him and Belisa, that sorrows bitch. And Perry.
Yeah.
I took a bite. The hash browns were salted and heavenly. I swallowed carefully. It scorched on the way down. And the birdware came back with an open bottle of beer. So cold it smoked with vapor. And a king-size mug of what proved to be thick black coffee. From there, it was easy. But I kept thinking of diner food. Possible hallucinations, old blue eyes. The sorrow who killed my teacher. The gaps in my memory. And Perry's snow-white table with its blood-clot rose in the crystal vase. The burst of frantic loathing that went through me turned the food to ashes, but I kept chewing and swallowing. I needed the fuel. We piled into Galena's shop through a sheet of cascading red-gold energy, flushing deep purple as it sealed us inside. With the wares crowding behind, we couldn't slow down, and I was halfway across the small occult shop before skidding to a stop, guns flicking out. Galena spread her arms, green eyes alight, and her dark Marcel waves slightly disarranged. She was in full robes, smoky gray silk glowing with pigeon throat sheen. The medallion of the order, a quartered circle inside a snake's supple curve, cast in some light silvery metal, running with white radiance against her chest. But that wasn't why I had my guns out. You'd have to be crazy to draw on a sank inside her own walls. They settle, drive in their roots deep, and are near godlike inside their hallowed homes. Outside, they're a tasty, almost defenseless snack. But hunters, wares, and even most breed or traders will smack you down hard if you attack your local sank. Neutral supply of necessities is the least they provide. No. I had both guns out embraced because of the hellbreed near the sleek black cash register. His eyes glowing sterile blue, and his pale hair ruffling as he saw me and grinned.
Jill!
Darling!
Perry's lip lifted, his pearly teeth bluntly human, but too white. The silent snarl turned into a bright, bland, sunny smile. The kind a real estate broker will use right before moving in for the kill.
So good of you to come.
Don't make me, Perry. Jill! Jesus Christ, Pox Hunter! Put the guns down!
Every muscle in my body protested. Anya Davie drifted away to the right, and I was suddenly certain she was getting a better angle on Perry. An angle that would leave Galena out of the line of fire. My stomach cramped, my arms aching and tingling. If I needed to know how Anya felt about me, it was all in that subtle movement. We were hunters. If I was gonna throw down, even inside a sank's hallowed walls, she was ready to back me.
Stay where you are, Anya. Jill, put your guns down.
Perry took a single step forward, and Galena's hand twitched up towards him. He halted, a ripple running under his pale skin, like tiny mice begging to escape. The pale linen of his suit was dotted with black ichor, hems and cuffs sending up little threads of steam. But he looked pristine under it, like he could just step out from under the spatter stains and they would fall to the ground with tiny little plashing sounds. Splashback. He's been killing other Hellbreed. Maybe because we got away? I lowered the gun slowly. So slowly, my arms strained, every muscle locking and fighting me. Perry's grin widened the further down the barrels went. He shook his head slightly, white blonde hair sliding back from his face like raw silk. He changed hairstyles like some women change shoes, but very subtly. You had to look to see what he'd done each time. And I did not like that I knew that, or how closely it meant I watched him.
You left too soon, Kiss. Always in such a hurry.
The sensation pressed itself inside my skull, tiny insect feet prickling over my hands and face. I even felt them inside, chitinous bodies and dragging stingers pressing behind my cheekbones, running lightly over the surface of my brain. They were crawling and eating, and my fingers almost shook with the urge to rip at the skin of my face and peel them off.
Back off, Perry! If I toss you out, you're never coming back in. Settle down.
I just want to talk to her. Just a little tete-a-tete with my darling one. Surely it can do no harm.
Galena, get him the fuck out of here, or I won't be responsible for what happens.
Everyone just simmer down. I can separate you all like toddlers at a lunch table if I have to. Perry, you're done here. Leave.
I don't have what I came for. Kiss, my dearest, I have all the answers you could ever want, and I ache to give them to you. All you have to do—
Step any closer, Hellspawn, and I will kill you.
Little puss. I will deal with you in my own time. Go back to lapping milk and clawing at walls. Kiss. When you're ready, come and find me.
Silver spat and crackled with blue sparks bleeding free of the metal. My aura rippled, the gem vibrating against my wrist. Leather rustled, my hair ruffling on a breeze that came from nowhere. Galena's shop trembling around us both. Perry winked out, leaving a draft of rotting, spoiled honey, an obscenely warm breeze caressing my face. I was sweating, great clear drops of water standing out on my skin, and shaking too, like a horse run too hard.
Well, that was unexpected. Jill.
My arms were straight, and even though I shook, the guns were absolutely steady. They were up. Maybe I would have been fast enough to shoot him after all.
Training goes bone deep.
Jesus. Galena moved in right next to me. I almost twitched. Hunters don't like it when someone gets too close. But I lowered the guns, and my fingers eased off the triggers. Galena, wonder of wonders, threw her arms around me. She was rounded at hip and breast, the way I was not. And her hair smelled of incense and green growing things. I could almost feel the murder under my skin retreat from that softness.
Oh, Jill, I was worried about you. What the hell happened? It's been months. One second we had Saul back, everything was wrapped up, and then...
Give her a second, Galena.
Theron folded his arms, leaning against a glass case. Mummified alligators, a scatter of tarot card packets, and wristlets with brass bells crouched inside the case, along with statuettes and chunks of semi-precious stones.
Our kismet's come back from the dead, it looks like. Save my ass over at the Monday.
And you should not have been there, Ware. First things first, though. What the fuck was that asshole doing here? And Galena, while you're explaining that to me, I need one of your vaults. Altar and circle. Jill's going between.
Well, great. That's just peachy. Someone stop the world, please. I want to get off.
Between? That's it? That's your wonderful idea?
This is not going to end well.
Well, it's the only thing I can think of, Ware. The bigger question is...
You'd better think again.
God, give me patience. Stop it. I'm doing what she says.
I've got a better way to bring a memory back. But nobody asked me. And that Hellspawn son of a bitch is here inside Sanctuary and gets close enough to touch her and none of you do anything! What the fuck is going on?
Ease up, Saul.
I lost my mate! And the only thing you can think of is throwing her between? She doesn't remember!
You lost your... What happened, Jill?
I get the feeling I should be asking you that.
I don't know. Well, not much, anyway. Davey says I can remember how I wrapped up that case. I'm down with that. So let's just get it over with. No, wait. Wait just a second. Where's Gilberto? And God damn it, what was Perry doing here?
Gil's upstairs, with Hutch. I wanted them both safe and out of the way.
Well, hooray for that. One thing to be happy about, I guess.
And Perry?
He was waiting for Jill.
I plunged my hands into the stream of cold water. The upstairs bathroom was familiar, sun falling in through the skylight and caressing every surface.
Just washing up.
A scrawny, tall cholo stood in the doorframe eyeing me. Lank, dark hair fell in his acne-pitted face, without a hairnet for once, and his dark eyes were even more flat and lifeless than they had been. He'd put on some more muscle and shot up a couple inches, and the way he braced himself, leaning lightly against the door jamb, told me someone had been training him.
Anya. You asked her to. But she just did what any other hunter would have done, stepped in to finish what you started.
There was a gleam on his chest, a razor-linked chain holding a barbaric, bloody gem. It rested uneasily against his faded flannel button-down. If he'd been shirtless, his narrow face with its high-bladed nose might have been a little less pizza and a little more Aztec. My apprentice's hands twitched a little. Jeans and engineer boots. His fingernails were clean, and I was assessing him from top to toe before he even opened his mouth, weighing, measuring, as if I was still his mentor. Small wonder. He'd chosen me, not Davy, and I winced when I thought of what this must be doing to him. He grinned, a shark's wide, humorless smile, curving his thin lips. And in that moment, you could see a flash of who he might have been.
Hey, Professora. Had enough vacation? Gonna go back to work?
Gilberto. I dipped my chin at the bloody, sullen gem on his chest. That needs to be drained, and soon. I didn't ask how the eye of Sekhmet had ended up on him. The last time I'd seen my teacher's greatest prize, its razor-edged chain had been hugging my own neck.
Because Perry had left it in my warehouse. A present. In the nature of recovered property.
That snagged a deduction out of the soup of memory. I stared at the eye, and it responded.
Belisa. He got it from Belisa somehow.
Gilberto shrugged. His long spider fingers worked at the chain, but it wasn't any good. He couldn't get any purchase. It was kind of funny, seeing such a male reaction to jewelry. He finally gave up and lifted the gem carefully from his chest, gingerly sliding his fingers under and working the chain around his ears and the rest of his head.
Makes me nervous. Devi, she said to hold it for you. She thought you weren't coming back. It's stupid. But I took it anyway. You hold what you got to, Professora. Learn that somewhere else.
You hold what you got to.
Yeah. Gil offered the gem, the sharp links dangling from his fist. There was a healing scrape across the back of his left hand. Looked like mat burn. How was Davy finding time to spar with him? If there was a war on wares and all sorts of other shit going on. The eye's gleam sharpened.
Keep it. It's safer with you. Because if I take that, I'm going hunting for Perry. And that is probably what he wants. So it's a very bad idea.
You went off to dance with La Muerta, Professora. Months you've been gone, and things going to hell.
He acknowledged the pun with a curled lip, and the eye vibrated slightly in his grip. Gil watched my face.
What you gonna do? We drowning, losing turf every day. And La Otra Cazadora ain't got time to see the half of it. Wares getting squeezed onto Mayfair and the Barrio, and I'm not thinking Mayfair gonna hold out much longer.
I shuddered. Mickey's was out on Mayfair, the only ware-run restaurant I knew of. Plenty of nightsiders caught a meal or a cup of joe there, and it was a relatively neutral ground. Neutral, that is, as long as the Hellbreed hadn't declared open war on wares and were making it dangerous during the day. This was all sorts of wrong, and it pointed to something big. The eye quivered, dangling from his fingers. Every inch of skin on me prickled, as if I were standing on a flat plain right in a thunderstorm's path, the tallest thing around.
Professora, what we do now?
My apprentice was counting on me. Every soul in this city was counting on me to figure out what the breed were up to. And fast.
Why else had I been sent back?
Sent back? They sent me.
Sent? Brought? Oh, what the hell, it doesn't matter.
The gem on my wrist sent a little zing through me. A needle-sharp nerve thrill.
Vacation's over, Jill. Get back to work.
Everything clicked into place.
Professora?
Put that back on, Gil. You're my apprentice. It's yours. I gotta go downstairs and make sure they don't kill each other. Come on. If I'm going to go between, it's better sooner than later. Anya'll hold the eye while I do it. It'll even drain it and solve two problems at once.
You're not, and that's final.
The kitchen wasn't quite in an uproar. Still, Theron had wisely taken himself off somewhere, probably to the greenhouse. Wares don't like conflict. Galena stood near the butcher block island, her hands up, glancing from one end of the room to the other like a tennis spectator. Saul, near the door to the hall with his arms folded and legs spread, actually scowled at my fellow hunter.
Saul, I am not even going to... Damn, pager. Hold on.
That's right. I was dead, so she took over the messaging service. Either that or it was transferred to hers. I wonder if Monty moans at her about replacement costs too.
Montaigne. Shit!
She stalked for the phone by the end of the counter, and Galena's shoulders relaxed slightly. Saul's arms loosened. The circles under his eyes were fading, and I wondered how long it would be before Galena started feeding him too. He was still too damn thin.
Hey.
You okay?
Peachy.
I did what I should have done in the first place. Reached out, touched his bony shoulder. Fever heat bled through his t-shirt, and I reeled him in. He came willingly enough, and I closed my arms around him. He's taller than me, but his head came down to rest on my shoulder, his entire body sagging, and I held him. I slid my fingers through his hair, and I was still stronger than even a strictly human hunter because he leaned into me, and I held him with no trouble, just a little awkwardness.
You don't even smell the same, but it's you. It is.
Hey, it's me. Really?
Davy tapped her fingers on the counter, once. Frustration or impatience or habit, I couldn't tell.
Okay, tell Eva to keep him away from that place. Have her hold Sullivan and Creary there so we can question them. Do not let them go any closer to that... Yeah, okay, I know you know. And relax. I've got good news for once. Language, Monty. It's very good news. Keep your hat on and have faith. We're on our way.
Sullivan and Creary. That's Sullen the Badger.
Homicide detectives. Eva was one of the regular exorcists working Santa Luz's nightside, handling standard cases and calling me in for anything out of the ordinary.
Galena, I need an ammo refill and some grenades. That was Monty. Saddle up, change of plans.
Good deal. What's boiling over now?
Missing rookie cop, Vanner? Something about him being at a crime site and going shocky weird?
Vanner? I remember him. Called him Jughead. Was always running across weird scenes. Where did they find him?
Eva brought him in a week after you disappeared. He was up at New Hill.
God damn it. What was wrong with him?
Catatonic. I gave him a look-see, but there was nothing we could do. They kept him in one of the barred rooms at the hill. 2 days ago, he vanished.
Jesus.
A chill walked down my spine. Vanishing from a barred room at New Hill is a Houdini act and a half. The last I'd seen of Vanner, he'd been in shock, in the back of an ambulance, after seeing me fight hellbreed-controlled corpses.
Vanished. Out of a barred room. Okay.
Well, Creary found him. She called in Eva, and as soon as that Fabergé painting bit showed up, the rookie made a beeline for guess where?
Where?
Where else? Henderson Hill. The old one.
Of course.
Of course. It had to be the one place a regular exorcist and many nightsiders wouldn't go. A psychic whirlpool of agony, fear, and degradation. Especially since the great demonic outbreak of 1929, when the inmates had ceased being prey for sadistic jailers and turned into a buffet for hell's escaped scions. Ever since 29, hunters have been not just mostly outnumbered, we'd been outright fighting a losing battle for all that we give it everything we have.
And everything we can beg, borrow, steal, multiply, murder, liberate, or otherwise get our hands on. Let's go.
Not without me.
It'd be nice if I could go with Davy to watch my back and you stay here and fuel up. But I can pretty much tell you're not gonna go for that.
What part of everywhere do you not understand?
The question was mild enough, but his hands curled into fists, and weariness swamped me. The old me would have argued, or at least given it the old college try. He was safest here in Sanctuary. But he'd been taken from the street right outside. I remembered that. I remembered Galena telling me to calm down when I found out, up in the greenhouse. I remembered burning rubber out to the Monde, and something there waiting for me. Something huge. A thing I bumped up against the edges of, my brain shying away like a skittish horse. The black cloth bulging over that memory was wearing thin. Little bits peeking out through its moth-eaten, merciful darkness.
Right now, he's safer right where you can see him, Jill. So you can make sure nothing happens to him. or you can kill whatever touches him.
With this amount of ammo and my knives securely strapped in, not to mention the creaking new bullwhip, it sounded doable.
More than doable. It sounds good.
And if it saved me from descending into the chaos of between to look directly at whatever had happened to turn my memory into Swiss cheese and kill me, then bring me back, well, maybe I was a coward for feeling relieved. But it was getting to where I didn't care as much as I should.
Get ready, then. You better go armed.
Out of the four of them, Eva took it best when we showed up. Sullivan went even paler than usual, only his receding coppery hair under his bleached-out Stetson showing any color. His thin hands twisted together, and he drew himself up and back into the inadequate shade provided by a warehouse's side as if I might not notice him if he hid well enough. Montaigne, in an ill-fitting sports jacket despite the heat, stared. His bulldog jaw dropped, and he hadn't shaved in a while. Cigar smoke drifted across his scent, and the tang of whiskey. There were bags big enough to carry a week's worth of luggage under his eyes. The Badger was actually in a tank top and jeans, the white streak at her temple glowing and her round, pale face sweating. She is, like some heavy people, astonishingly light on her feet, and many a perp has been surprised when he thinks the rotund little lady cop's the easiest one to escape or overwhelm. She acquired her nickname even before her streak began, working a downtown beat and quietly, in her own unassuming way, taking absolutely no shit from anyone. Right now she stared, and I had the uncomfortable idea that coming back from the dead is not guaranteed to keep you any friends. Eva, slim and dark, hopped down from the hood of Avery's Jeep and strode toward us. She gave Davy a brief nod, looked curiously at Saul, and swept her long hair back over her shoulder. Davy contented herself with nodding back for once and moved over into the shade.
Nice to see you. Christ.
Thanks. I was dead.
I didn't glance back at the truck where Saul leaned against the hood. The silver in his eyes was bright starring, and he munched slowly on an energy bar while his eyes took in the street in controlled arcs.
Vanner, he was catatonic the whole time?
About as long as you've been AWOL, sweets. Ave and the boys will be happy you've shown up.
Are you still dating Avery?
Sometimes I let him think so.
Even in the sun, you could feel a suggestion of a chill draft. She was right at the edge of the hill's etheric shadow, and the only surprise about that was how far the stagnant bruising in the fabric of reality had spread.
Should really do something about that.
But what was there to do? Banefire might burn the whole place to the ground and leave a blessing in its wake, but that amount of bane might turn into just plain fire at the edges. And with the slumped warehouses and converted offices hunching around here, we could be looking at a huge burnout. Before, the scar would have provided me with hellfire, but hellfire around this sort of stagnation and misery would just drive the scar in deeper. And with all the hills accumulating force to fuel it, it would spread even further.
No, hellfire is so not a good idea.
So, how did Vanner present?
Catatonic. Both me and Davy scanned him. He was inert in every possible way. I checked him weekly over at New Henderson Hill. I think something was riding him.
Possessor?
I don't know how he would have caught one, and there's no marks. He disappeared from New Hill 2 days ago. Hasn't slept or eaten that I can tell. Slippery little fuck, whatever it is, but altogether too active to be a possessor. Plus, it doesn't smell right.
Out of the four regular exorcists, Ave comes closest to being a hunter candidate through sheer adrenaline junkie insanity. It's Eva who comes closest through cool calculation and the tendency to be three or four steps ahead of everyone else. They make a good pair. I was actually hoping Avery wouldn't let her slip through his fingers the way he usually lets women go.
So, smart, mobile, smells different than a possessor. All right. You can take the cops and head out as soon as Davy's done. And be nice.
Can I just register how happy I am to see you?
Likewise. If you only knew. Duly noted. Hey, how have the cases been lately?
Hopping. We're all working for the cops now, not just Dave. And on shift so we can get some sleep. It's never been this bad.
No worries. We're on it.
Yeah, well, it's been getting progressively worse the longer she's been here. I mean, she handles it, Jill, but she's not you.
Oh, for Christ's sake. She's a hunter, Eva. Come on. I want to talk to the cops and then send you guys home. Monty's not sleeping again, is he?
Murder rates spiked. The media's blaming it on the heat, but... And it's not just murder. It's all sorts of fun. Rape, arson, assault, and enough weird to make it feel like 13 o'clock all day. We've gotten to the point where even triage isn't helping.
Well, fuck. Come on. It looked like whatever case had shot me in the head and left me out in the desert wasn't over. I half turned, glanced at the deserted street. Something is troubling my city. Of course, the legions of hell flood in when a hunter goes missing. We're barely enough to stem the tide as it is. But this is exceptional. And when the exceptional shows up, a hunter gets nervous. I headed for the knot of cops, Eva drifting reluctantly in my wake.
Well, Christ almighty, Kismet, it's about goddamn time. Where have you been?
Dead, Monty. You want to keep asking questions like that, or you want to tell me what you've got?
Hi, Jill! Wow! You look like shit!
Thanks, Badge. I glanced at Sullivan, who visibly flinched. It wasn't like him. Of course, he would probably have been an accountant if he wasn't a cop. He had a feel for the nitpicky detail, and he liked things neat. That was his trouble. He liked everything all explained.
Jill?
Vanner?
He's changed, Jill. He's scrambling around on all fours. But it's definitely him. Fast, too. Guerrero here says we're not supposed to get any closer to the old hill.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know the drill. Relax, boys and girls. Kismet's on the job.
Thank fucking God. I suppose you need another pager, too.
It wouldn't hurt, Monty. But I'll be with Davey. Just buzz her for the time being.
Fine! Jesus H. Fucking menace to property.
I haven't blown anything up yet today, Montaigne. Give it a rest.
Jill?
Let's roll. Go home, everyone. Good work.
I suppose I can't tell you to be gentle.
You can say it, Badge, but I can't promise we'll listen. The county put up a concrete wall around the old hill after the Carolyn Sparks episode, which was a reasonable response, given that that had involved a major abyssal, an untrained psychic, and a string of murders that made even a seasoned hunter blanch. I've seen the file. Even with only black and white photos, it's enough to give you nightmares. Someone even occasionally tries to put a fresh padlock on the front gate. Come nightfall, however, the padlock is always busted wide open, shrapnel scattered in a wide arc. And the iron gates stand open just a little.
Inviting.
The gravel drive inside the gate was moving. Little bits of it popped up and turned over, as if the whole expanse thought it was popcorn while it's still just bursting sporadically.
Before the big explosion.
I cocked my head and stared, one hand loosely on a knife hilt. It was, I suppose, a hunter's equivalent of a nervous tick.
Jesus.
The gravel settled down, little gray stones twitching in the sunlight.
Thank God dusk is a ways off.
Look.
Saul pointed. There were scuff marks on the scattered ground, and smears of something on the gate itself. My eyes narrowed, and I didn't need to get any closer to tell that the stains were fresh and crimson. Anya and I both drew our right-hand guns, a weirdly synchronized motion. We could have been on the stage.
Take point. I'll follow in three. Where?
I'm a tracker.
Saul crouched fluidly, the fringe on his suede jacket fluttering. It almost hurt me to see how it hung on him. He was so thin.
I'll be fine. This is just like spot-jumping skirfalls in the res.
Okay. Give me three, Anya. Then come in. Give her three, Saul, then you come in. If something's gonna go wrong, it'll go in the first few seconds. Christ, I've never seen it so bad here.
We're burning daylight. Let's do it.
Still, I took another few precious seconds to study the gates. Wrought iron, quivering just slightly, and the gravel moving uneasily behind them. It shouldn't have been this bad.
Ah, something happened here. Something fed the hill. Shit.
Some hunters say it's not the big weird that wallops you the hardest. It's the just slightly off. The subtly wrong. Because it echoes inside your head and builds until you want to scream. I've lost civilians to both. Some people crack just seeing a body-modded traitor. Some go screamingly, eye-clawingly, gratefully insane when faced with something that breaks all their base-level assumptions about how the world works. Still others take the whole enchilada, seem okay, then walk home and ventilate themselves. You just can't ever tell. You can only visit the grave afterward and feel the horrific tightness in your chest. It means you didn't do a good enough job protecting them. Personally, I think both the big and the little weird are hideous. And depending on when they hit, they can take the legs right out from under a normal person. Even a hunter gets a chill now and again. We're trained, and we're ready. But nobody is ever really ready for the weird all the time. At least a hunter has an explanation. And a job to do. My boot hit the gate squarely, knocking it wide. I stepped forward onto the gravel. Little chunks of stone rose, whirling, and my aura fluoresced into the visible. Hard little sea urchin spikes tipped with points of light. That shell flexed. A sphere of normalcy asserting itself. My hair lifted on a breeze, and I felt my left eye turn dry and itchy. I shut my right and squinted with my blue eye, untangling tricks of perception and snarled etheric strings. The lines quivered, and I could almost see the passage of something else through here recently. More spots and spatters of blood. Someone was moving fast.
Well, at least we have a trail. And for a hunter, blood's as good as neon arrows.
The buffeting increased, but I had my feet planted. And the gem gave a clear, hard ring all through my bones. I pushed, bearing down as if I was ripping a possessor out of a hapless victim inch by inch. Most often, they code, and you have to jumpstart their hearts and get them to a hospital. It's a tremendous psychic shock. All your mental cupboards torn open, furniture hacked apart, windows smashed. The possessor digging in with its little claws. Woven into mental architecture over weeks or months of dedicated pawing and fingering. Pushing, pressure mounting behind my eyes.
Jill?
It was work not to stagger. My left hand was a fist, cramping. I shook my fingers out. Saul ran up beside me and stamped his right leg twice. The driveway shuddered before the gravel around his feet settled. His eyes were lambent, even under the assault of sunshine, and as he straightened, it was suddenly easier to breathe. Anya's bindi flashed, and it was a relief to see the same speckled sea urchin shape to her aura. She opened her eyes cautiously and took a step forward. The gravel was still, in a perfect circle around her booted feet. Just as Saul and I carried an area of eerie stillness with us. Outside those calm patches, however, the gravel began to pop up again, flinging itself about knee high. We waited, and the hill eventually calmed slightly. But it was unhappy, quivering on the edge of sentience. Before, it would have been cold and tricky during the day, active and dangerous at night. Now, even under the sun, it felt treacherous. And the cold was not physical. It lay under the daylight with its own heavy weight, a prickling like tiny feet wandering all over me, probing delicately into every cavity, tickling every inch.
God damn it! You tricky bastard! No thank you!
Sweat popped out along the curve of my lower back. Even with a hunter's regulation of body temperature, a few things will make you damp up. Sorcerous effort, combat, sex, terror. The black hole inside my head yawned, and for one vertiginous second, I was skating its edge as the walls between me and however I ended up in a shallow grave crumbled.
Oh, Jill, you are fucked for sure. fucked six ways from Sunday and hung upside down, too. This was where it happened. Where what happened?
Oh, Saul's hand came down over my shoulder. Claws needle poking through the tough leather. Just felt, not breaking the borrowed skin. His mouth was close to my ear, warm breath on my skin. And for a bare moment, a tide of hot feeling rushed through me. Too complex to unravel, before my sightless eyes blinked and started relaying information to my busy little brain again.
Kismet?
Steady. Steady as a rock, babe.
Doubt it. Let's follow the yellow brick road, children.
Ding dong, the bitch is dead.
Only if the bitch was dead, that bitch was me. Under the dirt with my socks rolled up.
Great. Now is a bad time to be thinking those sorts of things.
Anya lit up with a feral intensity that turned her into a very pretty woman indeed. Blue eyes firing, and her mouth turning up. She led along the trail, and I swept next. Saul behind and slightly to my left. It was like moving after Mikhail, stepping only where he did, breathing only as he did. You can't get closer to another human being than when they're trusting you to do your job and watch their back. Anticipating, guessing, responding to every breath of chill intent against the skin, taking over the angles like clockwork so each is covered, gaze moving in smooth arcs. The little hitch in Anya's breathing when the gravel began to pop like shrimp in a sauté pan. It evened out immediately, and I thought our hearts were probably matching beat for beat too. She was heading for the main steps, and I wondered if the air inside was still reverberating from my last visit here.
Or at least the last visit I remember.
I wondered if the front desk was still smashed, if there was still violence in the air, and if there was a room upstairs where I'd taken apart a hellbreed-built altar, bile burning my throat, and the banefire whispering and aching to escape my control.
And the scar on your arm aching as it tried to burrow in toward the bone, Jill. Don't forget that. The little scar Perry gave you. The mark of Cain.
Cain shot his brother, though.
I just shot my pimp.
I did not want to go back to that night, to the hole in Val's forehead and the ticking of the clock on the wall. The ticking that would turn into a buzz as tiny feet crawled over my rotting flesh.
Stop. Davy. The windows.
What?
Someone, probably the caretaker who lived in the boiler room, with his filmed gaze, scarred face, and his quart of rye, sometimes haphazardly nailed boards over the windows. But now those boards were gone. The five floors of Henderson Hill's public front, offices on the two lower levels, progressively tighter security on the next three, but no heavy equipment, that was saved for other buildings, stared at us with compound centipede eyes. Some windows were starred with breakage, but the chicken wire mostly held everything up. Scarred, but not broken. On some hungry, avid little windows, the cracks looked decorative, like war paint, or the crack glaze in the makeup of an aging hooker.
The windows, some were covered before.
Suddenly, Henderson Hill's front door shattered. A flash of motion, something pale and human-shaped, flung aside as the attacker paused. This was not a Rongerdo, a bone dog made by Hellbreed that never ran by day. No, this was one of the creatures of hell itself.
Hellhound!
Well, shit, I could have told you that.
The thing was long and low and bullet lethal. Anya hopped aside, whip already in her hand, and I brought up my gun as Saul faded behind me. It was between us in an instant, blood steaming on it. The sunlight drew lashes of scorched smoke from its hide, but it merely bared broken, shark-sharp yellow glass teeth and snapped, ignoring the assault of that clean light. Its eyes, coins of diseased green flame, locked on me. The thing launched towards me, its body stretched out in a lean, unlovely curve, and hit me. Blood exploded from my mouth, and something snapped in my side as we tumbled apart. I brought myself to a stop on a knee, leveling my gun in a fluid motion. A was up on my feet, ribs howling. The gem poured a hot tide of strength up my arm. I skipped to the side as the beast lunged again, my gun coming back up in my left hand, shaking my whip free.
I beat it.
Anya began chanting a string of Latin, hunter sorcery rising in thin blue lines as every inch of silver on her flamed. My ribs snapped out and messily fused together, etheric force jolting through my bone structure like an earthquake through a skyscraper. I knew if I could keep it busy enough, Baby's chant could slow it down. Then we could tear the goddamn thing apart. What was in that doorway? Saul was already gone, scrambling past us up the stairs and plunging into the hill's maw. I had to forget about it, trust that he would take care of himself and... It hit me again, and we smashed into the stone steps. My head hit sandstone with stunning force. I actually pistol-whipped the thing instead of shooting it. My left fist coming up too, freighted with leather whip handle. Breed mostly have a hard outer shell you can breach with silver. But hellhounds are elastic over hard bones. The skull a titanium curve under a gushy, slippery, thick layer of congealed darkness, birthing yet more scorch steam as the sun lashes it. It reeked of corruption, and the gem vibrated angrily on my wrist. My left arm was up, and the thing's jaws closed, teeth driving in. It had its back legs braced. It snaked its misshapen head, hot bloody foam spattering as it shook me like a piece of wet laundry. Anya's spell took hold. Lines of blue sorcery bit, driving deep, and Anya yanked, whipping it back away from me.
What the hell was that?
Inside!
I scrambled to my feet, grimacing as broken bones ground and my left arm burned.
Never a dull moment around you, Jill.
Davy covered me as I made it awkwardly up the stone steps, struggling into the building. Blood spattered the scarred, ancient black and white linoleum squares. I rolled while sweeping, and was on one knee with the gun braced as Anya plunged through behind me. I was right. I could see the damage from my last visit. The monstrous wooden reception desk had a hole blown in it. A jumble of wooden chairs and trash at one end of the room vibrated uneasily. And Saul was on the stairs holding down a writhing, spitting mass of paleness that had once been Jughead Vanner. The Hellhound had tossed Jughead aside to deal with us, the bigger threat.
Might have saved his life. God damn.
One booted foot off to the side, his coppery fingers clamped on Vanner's nape. My wearer glanced at me, and his dark eyes widened slightly. Vanner let up.
Status!
Etheric force tingled all through me, and my left arm cramped up as the gem fought whatever toxin had been smeared on the thing's teeth or in its blood-foaming saliva.
Jill!
Fine!
I shook the whip slightly. I had to swing my shoulder back and forth to do it. My arm had seized up.
Ready to tango. Saul?
He's strong. You're bleeding.
Well, no shit. That's how these things always end up. I'll live. It's closing up. Davy?
What do you want to bet that hound isn't coming back?
I don't take losing bets.
Anya moved back into her left, finding a good angle. Both guns covering the door. Outside our little spheres of normalcy, the air was thicker. Almost opaque, like dust-fogged glass. I levered myself up, squinting in the dimness toward Jughead's struggling figure.
Saul, what's wrong with him? Is he bit?
A hellhound bite could do any number of things to a person. Bad things.
Don't know.
It was hard work to turn my back on the door, even though I knew Anya was watching. My ribs ached, and my left arm flopped a little. Huge, jagged waves of pins and needles cramping up from my fingers, exploding in my shoulder, sliding down to grip at my ribs, grinding in my knees each time my boots hit the floor.
Oh, it's bad in here. Jesus.
Something happened. My guess is that fucking blue-eyed breed was in it up to his neck. And Belisa.
So it would seem.
I approached cautiously. Each step tested before I committed my weight. Thin traceries of steam rose from my flayed sleeve.
I'm cuffing Vanner.
You sure it's him?
Maybe it's his cousin.
I'll revise my assumption when I get to him.
My arm came back to life in a scalding rush, and I took advantage of the added mobility to stow my whip. My fingers were finally obeying me again. Davey magnanimously didn't mention that I'd pulled a rookie mistake and gotten myself bit.
Nice of her.
Saul had our victim's right arm twisted up behind his back so far it looked ready to separate the ball joint. Along with the knee in his back and the lock at his nape, it looked reasonably secure. Which was wrong. Because even a weakened wear should have no trouble at all holding down a human. Especially one that presumably had been lolling catatonic in a chair for months and shagging ass all over the city for the past couple days. It was Jughead Vanner. And something was seriously wrong with him. There was so much blood I couldn't tell if he'd been bitten. I cuffed and flipped him over while Saul straightened, glancing mildly around like he was interested in the scenery.
Jesus.
The memory of the last time I'd seen Vanner hit me right in the gut. It was that house. The one with the dead girls a hellbreed had harvested organs from. The girls that got up and started moving while I was there. Vanner had come in, maybe to help. Maybe to gawk, even though he knew the rules. Back then, Vanner had been a big, lumbering rookie. Blue-eyed, corn-fed, all-American steak with a habit of blushing and stammering whenever I spoke to him. Now he was wasted down to pasty skin, bruised crescents of shocky flesh under his rolling eyes, and the remains of a filthy, blood-soaked hospital Johnny covering a skinny torso that had once been an advertisement for weightlifting. He'd found a pair of canvas pants, too. And God alone knew what color they were originally. Now they were stained, smeared with 16 different flavors of street grease and claret. And he'd lost control of some very basic functions most of us get a handle on before we're three.
Wonderful.
I grabbed his unshaven chin. The hair on his cheeks was more stubborn than the mop on his head. Once leonine blonde and high and tight, but now just a few soft strands over a naked white-domed scalp. His jaw worked loosely, spittle drooling down his chin. The hill shrieking back. Mottled rashing burns spread down Vanner's throat, a distinctive bright red wattling, like radiation. The other skin was dead white. And it rippled as his back bowed.
Push it.
Vanner! Christopher! He was far gone, eyes rolling up, their whites yellowed as old teeth. His bare heels drummed into the linoleum as I wrestled him back down.
Oh, something in him, all right. I can't tell what it...
Jill! Incoming!
The hellhound hit Henderson Hill's front door, and the skin over the parasite thing breeding in a Santa Luz cop, one of my cops, peeled back and burst. The unhuman shape came up out of him in a looping stream that resolved itself into a narrow canine head, sharp needle teeth made of basalt and slick egg white ectoplasm clinging along it. Its forelimbs lengthened and hind legs shortened, muscle roiling and shifting as it assumed its shape. The plasm splattered, and the bits of it hung in midair, spinning little milky spheres.
Koji qui potest necit mori!
Thin blue lines of sorcery snapped into being. My apprentice ring sparked. Three charms in my hair did too. I went over backward. The whip doubled and looped, caught just over the thing's head, locked up as its teeth champed an inch from my nose. It had mad, wide blue eyes burning with unholy fire, and it was slick wet with the noisome fluid of its birth. Short blonde hair bristled all over its hyena-shaped body. My blue eye saw Vanner himself in the thing. His hands turned to needle-fine but lethal razor claws, and his entire body a lean, compact weight. The thing scrabbled at my chest like a nightmare as I struggled under its weight, trying to gain leverage. The hellhound outside crashed through the door.
Shit!
Oh, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good.
I tightened up, shoving the thing back.
God damn it, Jill! Get up and help them! That's a hellhound! Saul's over there! Fucking kill this thing! Get up and kill the other thing and let's get this done!
Red pain jolted up my arm from the gem, exploding in my shoulder, and for a long moment it was Perry with his lips on my skin again, the scar melting with sick delight, him fiddling with my nerves, trying to make me respond, to jump in any direction, as long as he could just get a reaction, any reaction from me.
It's not the scar, it's something else. The scar's gone. Oh God, the scar's gone.
Then the hill screamed like a woman in labor. And time stopped. The gem was making a low, satisfied note, and the flood of etheric energy up my arm had turned warm and caramel soft. The dog thing that used to be Vanner hung motionless over me. Further away, seen through vibrating glassy air, Anya Davie extended in a leap, her long dark hair a silver-scarred banner. One of the bullets was just exiting the gun in her left hand, the explosion behind it clearly visible. Saul crouched on the grimy black and white squares, the fringe on his jacket unsettled, standing straight up. They were utterly, eerily still. The hellhound itself was leaping for Anya. It was wounded, sprays of black ichor hanging behind it like fine lacework scarves.
We have a little time.
Henderson Hill's caretaker crouched easily next to me, stroking the sleek head of the canine thing on top of me. Same faded coveralls, with the snarl of embroidery hiding his name. His eyes were bright, clean blue, no longer filmed, and the shadow of scarring on his face was clearing up nicely. Alone of all the things at the hill, he'd always just looked solid, normal.
Well, this sort of shoots the idea of normal in the head, doesn't it?
He wasn't any species of nightsider I'd ever come across. He was something else. I'd been wanting to talk to him, and I'd thought I might find him here, or even just a clue to where he was likely to be hiding once he dropped a quarter in me, pulled my arm, and set me spinning. He'd brought Belisa to the operating room and turned her loose on the hellbreed in there. He'd also bought me breakfast right after I clawed my way out of my own grave. He'd given me my gun and my ring, which made him a question mark at best.
What the fuck?
He grinned, a boyish expression, while he scratched behind the dog thing's ears with his expressive, calloused hand. The shadow of sorrow in those blue eyes didn't lighten.
Do you know how liberating it is to actually speak? Don't worry. I mean you no harm.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
Get this thing off me!
Can't. I can only break the laws of the physical so far. Little Judy, listen to me.
Don't call me that!
That's a dead girl's name, and I've had enough of people saying it to me.
Very well. Kismet, then. You named yourself for fate, didn't you? As a holy avenger, much the way your predecessor, Jack Karma, did. You're ever amazingly alike. All of you choose those like yourselves. It hurts to see, sometimes.
What the fuck are you?
Call me Mike. I'd shake your hand, but you're busy. Kismet, Hyperion must be stopped.
Perry. That's what the other Hellbreed call him. Galena calls him Pericles because he's old. Mikhail just called him that motherfucker at the Monde.
No kidding.
You don't understand. Everything has been according to his plan. Everything. Except your final act. The little break in the pattern. Do you remember what you did?
No!
I tried to struggle. Achieved exactly nothing. I was nailed in place. I could breathe. And my heart was a live wire jumping and sizzling inside my chest. I could even tighten up on the leather of the whip.
But I can't move.
The man was grave now. A blush of color high up on his cheekbones. before, he'd been horrifically scarred. The gray film over his eyes somehow making him gentler. This man looked like the caretaker's handsome older brother, his hair lifting and curling, taking on a richer gold.
You sacrificed yourself, Kismet, for the sake of many. That makes certain things possible.
What things? Oh, what the hell?
He leaned down even further. Those eyes were pitiless, terrible. They were not burning with the Hellbreed's fire. No, they were simply sad. A sadness like a knife to the heart. Numb grief when the night rises and the bottle is empty and the voice of every failure and weakness starts to rumble in the bottom of your brain like a bad earthquake. Cops get that look after a while. Sometimes in stages. Sometimes all at once. Other hunters, too. Sometimes. Looking in the mirror while I smeared eyeliner on, I've caught glimpses of it. It's the look of seeing too much, of being unable to turn away.
Go to Hyperion. Do what is necessary to convince him you're intrigued. Pretend your friends have thrown you out, whatever you like. But go. I am asking you to play Judas to a Hellbreed so that when he laughs in the moment of his triumph, you can strike him down. You can be our avenging hand.
And who the hell is we?
Oh, you know who we are.
I don't know a single...
My heart skipped to triple time. His hands were coming forward. He was going to touch me, and everything in me cringed away from the notion.
No, don't! Don't!
I'm sorry. I would bear this for you if I could.
I strained. Black spots dancing at the edges of my vision, sweat rising in huge, pearly drops, terror like wine filling my veins.
I have been with thee from the beginning.
His fingers clamped on my skull, and it hurt. And I remembered. Perry, Argoth, Melisande Belisa. White light exploded inside my head. My hip popped up, heel stamping down. Massive lung-tearing effort, and the dog-like thing spun to the side as I wrenched its head and flung it.
Shove at the head and the body will follow.
Basic law of anatomy.
I was up in a hot heartbeat, throwing myself across space to crash into the hellhound at the apex of a leap. We hit the shipwrecked desk, and my right hand was full of knife hilt. The blade slid in, twisted. The silver laid along its flat, flaring with sudden blue radiance, and the warmth on my chin was blood. It couldn't get any purchase. The whip was now wrapped around it and pulled tight. My legs clamped around it too, and the tearing in my side was ribs broken.
Again! Damn it! Can I go just 5 seconds without another bone snapping, please?
I bent back as its head snaked forward, rank hot breath touching my chin. The knife punctured its gluey hide, cut deep. Drag on the blade as unholy muscle gripped it, silver sparking as it grated hard against ribs. Tearing it free, rolling, and cutting the hellhound's throat in one sweep. Arterial gush sprayed, thin, black, brackish, and stinking. I blinked it away, knee coming up, and realized I'd almost taken the hound's head off. The neck broke as I heaved it aside, dusty corruption racing through its tissues. It slumped off the desk and fell. The hill pressed down, the psychic ferment shoving against my aura like it wanted to get in. I pushed air out, blowing through a thin scrim of Hellbreed ichor.
Oh, this shit's all over me!
But there was that second thing to worry about, too. I was already rolling, dropping off the desk with a jolt. I shook the whip. The knife spun and held with the flat of the blade back along my arm. Anya could shoot the fuckers all she wanted, but my forte was knife work, and it was looking like I could take a hell of a lot more damage than she could.
Oh, you know who we are.
Mike, what kind of name is that for what I suspect he might be?
Anya was covering the door. Saul brushed his shoulders gingerly, as if he'd been showered with dust.
Where's the dog?
It ran off.
You want to tell me what the hell just happened here, Kismet?
Something was in Vanner. It busted free. I slapped it pretty hard. Jesus Christ, what was that? I haven't seen anything like that before.
I have. Dog's body. Why the fuck did it run off?
No fucking way! That was a dog's body?
I should have taken my head clean off.
Jesus Christ. It can't be. Nobody's bleeding. Well, except for me, but that's normal.
Take a look. That rag laying on the stairs is just skin. That rookie's a day-running dog full of hellhound venom now, and we'd better get going if we're gonna track him.
No need. I know where he's going.